Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 107. God has a reason for everything. You believe that? Say, God's pretty smart. I like him. Psalm 107, because God's, while she's playing, literally, God's showing me some things to preach this morning. And so, Taylor, I appreciate that, and God laid it on your heart to do that, and God's in charge of all this stuff. I'm here this morning, and I'm tired, and like I say, just kind of troubled in my spirit a little bit over my mom and just things that have happened. And I had mentioned to you here a while back that I'm going to be weak for a while. And when you're weak, the devil knows how to get you. Amen? He'll go after you when you're weak. And so it's there's been some internet attacks against our church. It's made me, okay? But I've kept my cool about it, and the accusations that have been lobbed against our church, I've not gone after the people that have been saying it, and I know who it is. And they're accusing, we get accused of taking up an offering. Can you believe that? They did. Somebody accused us of taking up an offering. I'm not making that up. And they said, you corporate churches take up tithes, and everybody knows you're not supposed to pay tithes. You only need to know me for about a week to know that I love the Bible.
Amen.
And somebody wrote me a real nice letter, and I got it on my desk, and I'm going to respond to them personally. They were asking for videos on which Bible.
Amen.
And they said, please pray for me, because they're not that bold to just speak up to people about what they believe in. And I know how that is. Okay? I'm not a very, very bold person. But you get me behind a pulpit, and I'm going to say some things. I'm going to tell you some things that are true, whether you like it or not. And so you pray for this person. We're going to send some videos, and I'm going to send them a nice letter. And so anyway, but I believe the Bible, and I believe it's right, and I believe when men say something, I'm going to judge it, engage it up against the Word of God. And they made some accusations against our church and our ministry here, and then they proceeded to bring my family into it. That crosses a line. If you got a problem with my doctrine, go tell God. And if you think that I have erred from the Scripture, then turn away from me and don't ever listen to me again. I mean that. Listen, I don't want to do God a disservice. And if I'm in error scripturally, then don't listen to me no more. Go with the Word of God. Okay? And I mean that. I really do. But then they went after my family. And that's just ignorant. Okay? That's just ignorant. And so anyway, I stand for my family. I'll stand for my wife. And my wife's been wrong before. And I'll tell you something. My wife has stood for me, and I've been wrong before, and she knows it. And I'll stand for my children, and they've been wrong before. Okay? And but I love them anyway. And that's what dads do, and that's what church people do. They love one another. And if you only love the perfect people, good luck. Okay? You're not going to find them. And so anyway, but I prayed for these people. I really did. I prayed for them and prayed that God will. God, the hardest thing in the world is pray for your enemies. Okay? But I did. And I really meant it too. I want God to bless them. But anyway, so just pray for me and pray for our work and our labor here that God will help us. We're going to have a little bit different service this morning, and you'll see where we're going here in a little bit. And I'm going to ask you one question. What criteria does God use to bless people? And let me give it to you this way. How much righteousness do you have to have in order for God to bless you? Okay? We're going to read it from the Scriptures, and we're going to do something according to the Word this morning. Psalm 107, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Somebody say amen to that. You'll never out-sin God. You'll never out-sin God, okay? You'll never out-sin His mercy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means you ought to just be a Christian everywhere you go. Amen. Or let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. That's four directions. There's four gospels that'll do that for you. In verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I want you to underline it. I mean this. I want you to get out a pen right now, and I'm going to stand here and wait for you to do it. I'm going to make you do it. You're going to underline this phrase, they cried unto the Lord in the book of Psalms. That is not the only place that it's there. And I want to tell you something. When you're in trouble, cry unto the Lord. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Don't let Joyce Myers tell you that you've got to have magic words to say. She's a witch. Don't follow her. Okay? And but when you're in trouble, I can tell you from personal experience that you can cry unto the Lord and God will hear you. Okay? So anyway, verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord. Did you underline that?
Yeah.
All right, you better. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He did not wait for them to be good people first. He delivered them. Did you know, in fact, if we were to go back to Exodus chapter 14, okay? You remember when God opened up the Red Sea? How many of you know that story? You remember, you watched the movie?
You're right.
Okay, when God opened up the Red Sea, did you know, well, you go back and read it. Did you know that they were complaining against God at the time that he opened up the Red Sea? You stop and think about that for a while. They were complaining against God, murmuring when he opened up the Red Sea. Now, I don't suggest you try that. Amen? I'm not telling you that the way to get God's attention is to let him have it. But I will tell you that God is not waiting for you to be good to bless you. Okay? Now, verse 7. And you know what? Man, I'm trying to remember. There was a situation this week. It may be the email I got where somebody was in fear for their salvation because they were afraid that they weren't doing right by God. And I will just tell you, I hope to remove fear out of your life by letting you know if you're ever afraid that you're not good enough to get any blessing from God, I'm here to tell you, you're exactly right. Okay? But God's not giving you blessings because you've been good enough. He's giving you blessings on behalf of his Son, Jesus Christ, who he honors. So uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Say amen. God gave it to you. Amen. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against what? That's you. Get off your high horse. Amen. That's you, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned. That means it was contemptible in your sight, and you abhorred it, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That means you woke up with an attitude one day, and the Holy Ghost was saying, read the word, and you said, I ain't reading it. Ask me how I know how that happens. Okay? Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they what? You underline it again. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. There it is again. And he brought them out of the darkness into the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. That, he's talking about delivering them out of Egypt. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Okay? Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Okay? A lot of times when it's on us, it's our own fault. You blame everybody else, but sometimes it's our own fault. Look at verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. What happened to the Israelites in the wilderness? God gave them manna, and they said, oh, we want meat, we want chicken. Okay, so God sent them quails. The Bible said they had so much quail going around that made them sick. Okay? They abhorred it. And murmured and complained and groaned and whined and everything else. Verse 15. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. That's third time in this chapter right here. They cried unto the Lord. Okay? And then here's what led me to this passage. Okay? He sent his word and did what? Healed them. We're going to have a healing service today. Okay? We're going to have a healing service. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, I'm going to show you this biblically, and then we're going to have the deal, all right? And if you're here this morning and you need healing, I don't care if it's your physical body, your emotions, your spirit, your soul, or whatever, if you're here this morning and you need healing, I'm going to show you how the Bible says that it happens. Okay, we're going to follow the scriptures, and I don't understand it all. I don't have to understand everything in the Bible. I wish I did, but I don't. But I do have to believe everything in the Bible. Amen? Amen? Now I want to tell you something. Benny Hinn is not Jesus Christ. Amen. Kenneth Copeland is not Jesus Christ. And these people going around laying hands on everybody, acting as pseudo-healers is what they are. That means fake, false, doing lying signs and wonders. And they make a big dog out of it, make it like they're really something. And everybody, oh, look at, oh, I got to go to them. They got the gift of healing. Can I tell you what goes on behind the scenes? And this is the absolute God's honest truth. Those people that you see walk up on the stage and get their hands laid on, they're actors. They're plants. Okay? What you didn't see behind the camera was about 20 wheelchairs with people sitting in them that really did need healing. They'll never make it up there because the producers of this particular show that's being put on know that there's not a chance in the world those people are getting up out of that wheelchair. Not a chance in the world. And the one person that they did wheel up there that got up, they didn't need that wheelchair to begin with. And I'm just pulling the curtain back and showing you what's going on behind the scenes. These people are fake and phonies. And say, how do you know that, Pastor Mike? Because I'm here to tell you that God will not ever let any man be first place in front of his word. Never. It'll never, ever, ever happen. God will not take a back seat to Benny Hinn or any of these other so-called miracle faith healers. Now, I don't care how much oil they throw on or how hard they hit people in the head or how they blow on them. I don't care what it is they do. They're fakes and phonies and frauds. And if they were real, they'd need to go over here, JMH over here, and start on the top floor and start working their way down. Go into the mental ward and start freeing all those people out of there. Go into the ER and just be on standby. As people come in an ambulance, just lay hands on them and say, get up and go home. It's fraud is what it is, okay? And so anyway, I believe in biblical healing. My dad was healed September 29th, 2011. You say, well, he died. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, God healed. He had diseases in his body for years. And there's a blessed lady that calls me every now and then. I love her to death. Never met her. We're going to meet her in heaven one of these days. She's very sick. She got some kind of lung problem. I can hear the oxygen clicking when I'm talking to her on the phone. She's wearing oxygen nearly all the time. And she's got a bunch of friends around her. They're not really friends. She's got a bunch of women around her telling her, you just ain't got enough faith is your problem. If you had enough faith, you could just proclaim the sickness to be gone. It'd be gone in Jesus' name. And I've counseled with her many times. And I've told her, don't believe. Listen, those people are not your friends. I will be your friend. I will tell you what this Bible says. And I want to tell you something. Death is not losing. Death is not losing. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Death is not losing. If you're born again, child of the King, death is not losing. Okay? You have gained eternity. You've gained eternal life. You've gained what we're struggling for right now. You've got it. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, death is not losing. Death is healing. But anyway, he sent his word and healed them. How does God heal people? Okay? He heals them with his word. I'm going to tell you, if you've got an emotional distress this morning, how are you going to be healed with that emotional distress? Then you get your Bible out. I counsel people. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a counselor. But I tell people, look, if you're having problems, go to the medicine cabinet. Start with Psalm 1 and go to Psalm 150. Take it 3 times a day or as needed and keep taking it. Don't quit taking the medicine. Amen? I like the book of Psalms. I call it God's medicine cabinet. I have turned to it many times, and God has healed my soul. God has healed my emotions. God has healed my distresses. I just believe in the power of the written word of God is what I believe in. You say, well, what about so-and-so who does this and who does that? Let me show you. Let me give you a second witness. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. As a father and a husband, I pray for my wife and my children. I pray for them that God will lead them, that God will have eternal life in them, and that when I die, I'm going to see them in heaven. I want that more than anything. I like you people, but I want to see my family first. Amen. And then I'll get to the rest of you. Amen. Okay. But I love my family, and I want them. And I would tell you what, I would gladly give them up today if I knew that they would be in heaven today. I would gladly give them up today. And I love them and don't want to live a day without them, but I would gladly give them up to know that they're safe in God's arms. Can I hear you say amen? And that goes for the rest of you too. I would gladly give you up in a heartbeat knowing that I would, as I handed you over, I handed you over to the arms of God Almighty. He's a merciful God. Amen? Don't be afraid of Him at your hour of death. Don't turn away from Him at your time of death. Okay? You need that. But anyway, we're talking about healing, talking about the words of God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, that Jesus was going to heal. Matthew, the Bible says the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Raise your hand, say amen if that's you. Amen? We just read Psalm 107 that talks specifically about how unworthy we are to receive healing. We're unworthy to receive God's benefit, God's blessing. There is none righteous, no, not one, and there is no righteousness in us whatsoever. And yet we cry unto the Lord, and God hears our cry. God hears our prayer. He's not much of a God if He doesn't. If you want to serve a God that will not hear your prayer, go to some other church where they got a big fat idol sitting up there, and you pray to that thing all day long. But my God hears prayers. Amen? And He answers prayers. And He does it according to His will and what glorifies Him and what gives Him praise and glory. And I've learned to trust in that over the years. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak what? The word only, and my servant shall be healed. There's a double witness right there that tells you that healing comes through the pages of the word of God. Okay? Now I'm going to kind of mix this all together here. Look down at verse 16. The Bible says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and cast out the spirits with his what? With His word, and healed all that were sick. We dealt with this here a while back about spiritual warfare in the Bible. And I'm just one of these that I don't get much into rituals unless they're biblical based. Unless God says do this. I believe in water baptism. Jim's going to be baptized. Was that next Sunday? Okay. And his wife, I am going to hold him under for just a little bit. All right. Just make sure it's taken good. All right. Huh? Yeah. And so anyway, and I believe in that. Okay, God commands us to water baptize. Water baptism does not save anybody. Amen. Right. It was an outward expression of what God has done on the inside of that human being. Okay, and so I don't get much into rituals. I believe in communion service, and I believe we do it. Amen. Have communion service, and every now and then we get together and wash one another's feet just because Jesus told us to do it. Amen. Amen. And I like that. And we're gonna have a healing service the way the Bible tells us to do it. Okay? The way the Bible tells us to do it. But I will tell you, a ritual not mingled with the Word is useless. A ritual performed by men not mingled with the Scriptures is of no effect. It's useless. It's a waste of time. And I don't know about you, but I'm just not really interested in wasting a lot of time right now. Amen. Don't have a lot of time to waste. And so anyway, but we see clearly that healing comes through the Word. And I keep saying this, and I'm going to set myself down to do it one of these days. And that is to do a teaching, a biblical-based teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Because I believe in them. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe you ought to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, you crazy charismatic thing, you. No. Right here. You want a gift of prophecy? Read it. Amen? You want a gift of a word of wisdom? Here it is right here. You want a word of knowledge? Here it is right here. And when it comes to the gift of healing, what greater gift and what sure gift can we have than the Word of God? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if you need healing in your emotions, read the Bible. If you need healing in your soul, read the Bible. If you need healing in your body, read the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible. And we're going to do what the Scripture says here in a little bit. James chapter 5, turn there. And this is one of those places in the Bible that when I don't understand everything that's all about it, I'm just going to do what it says. I'm going to act in faith and say, God, this is what your word says, and I don't quite understand it, but this is what we're going to do. As I've said before, some people will say, well, I've prayed for healing for years and didn't get it. Okay? You ain't got it yet. Okay? Hang on. Hang on to the Lord. Don't ever give up. And I'll reiterate this again. To a born-again child of God, death is not defeat. It is never defeat. It is total victory on behalf of the Lord. Okay? Let's say that you needed a new liver. Your liver had just eat up and we prayed and God gave you a new liver. Okay? That liver is not going to make you live forever.
That's right.
Okay? And you might enjoy the rest of your days with a nice clean liver. Amen. Or let's say you needed a backbone. Amen. How many of you need a backbone every now and then? Say amen. Okay? God will heal your backbone. God, you know what God will do? God will heal your legs so that you can stand. You think about the spiritual implications of that. Amen? God will heal your legs and heal your knees so that you're able to stand. There was a man brought to the Lord whose right hand was withered. The right hand is always a picture of the New Testament and of Jesus Christ. And he represents Israel who has no strength in their right hand. All of their strength is in the left hand. And I'm right-handed, and I can tell you that this hand is stronger than this hand. And Jesus healed his right hand. If you look at the spiritual implication of that, that is a picture of especially a Jew who now believes the New Testament, and they know who Jesus is, and now they have the saving strength of God's right hand in them. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody say amen. Okay? And I know that there have been saint after saint that has suffered with a physical illness of some kind. Okay? And I will I've got pain, a lot of pain in me from, being electrocuted and accidents, things like that. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes I've asked God to help me, and God has helped me, but the pain is still there. Okay? And I will tell you that I will not ever look for a temporary fix to God's permanent solution. Okay, and so if somebody prayed over you to be healed, and it just didn't happen that day, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. God has a plan. God did not forsake you. You don't have to tell yourself, well, maybe I wasn't good enough on that day to get healing. We've already discovered from Scripture that that's not a requirement. Okay, Jesus had compassion on those he healed. Did he not? He saw their suffering and he saw their struggling. He had compassion upon them and he healed them. He didn't ask everybody and take an examination of their life to see whether they were worthy to receive it. He just healed people. He just did his good work. In James chapter 5, here's what the Bible says. Okay? In fact, look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him do what?
Pray.
Let him pray. Now, I do believe in a little bit of personal responsibility. Okay? I would not for a minute go through this congregation and just walk around slapping people on the head saying, well, God's going to heal you. Okay? I believe that you must have a desire. You must have a desire. Okay? So is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Amen? And Willie Nelson is not psalms. Lady Gaga is not psalms. Amen? Okay? Let him sing psalms. Now, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I want you to notice that's plural. He did not say, call for the faith healer or put your hand on a television screen. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Oral Roberts told everybody, God told him specifically, that when he holds his hand up like this, if you touch the television screen where his hand is, that God will transmit healing through him, through the wires, through the air, through your antenna, through your coax cable up into your television, and heal you through your television. That is the stupidest thing any man has ever said in the world. And it's not biblical. So when he says, God told me this, and God says, no, I didn't say that, you believe God. Amen? So it says, the elders. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Didn't say go to the Jones Dome or wherever these guys meet, and go have them spit on you or lay hands or whatever. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick. And I can tell you what you want, Lord. And God knows better what you want than anybody. He knows better what you need. And I can tell you something that's a lot better than having your back fixed, and that's having your soul saved. God will not, and listen, if you go through life crippled, God didn't tell you no. He gave you something better. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen?
He did not tell you no. He gave you something that was better than that. Take it. Amen? Take it. Who in here, if you got a cup from McDonald's and you pulled off the little Monopoly sticker on there and it said Boardwalk, and you thought, oh man, I just won $1,000 from McDonald's. And you go to McDonald's and they hand you a check for $1,000,000. You say, I was expecting $1,000. I ain't touching that. Who in here would do that? McDonald's is your kind of place, okay? They would love to see you come in. If God offers you something better, take it. Amen? Take him. Take it and trust him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I'll tell you what, that is a whole lot better package to give me than God take away my back pain today. That's a whole lot better package. I like that one. I trust the Bible. I don't trust men. I don't trust TV preachers. I trust the Scriptures. Okay? Now, some of you know Lindsay is here this morning, and she has a baby in her belly. God has blessed her with a baby. And this baby is very sick. Okay? Had it not been for the miracle of modern medicine, we would not even know this was taking place until the child was born, okay? But the baby is very, very, very sick. It's got, in the diaphragm here, it's herniated, which means it's ruptured open. And the liver's pushing up into here and some of the other organs, okay? And this just kind of messes. Your heart and your lungs are here. And in a baby, that's very, very delicate thing, okay? And there's a lot, that could happen with this situation, okay? I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I want to be sober about it and just tell you that this is a situation that needs God's blessing, okay? It needs God's blessing. And Lindsay and Antonio have consented together to come and to have hands laid upon them and have anointed them with oil and pray for their healing, okay? I wouldn't dare go over there and just slip up by her and just, God heal her. Okay? That's worthless. Okay? But Lindsay and Antonio, I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to challenge you that rituals without the faith of God's word are nothing. I have no power in these hands whatsoever. Okay? Zero. I'm not someone with a magic touch that just touches people and all of a sudden they're just healed up. Okay? I don't have that. The elders of this church are going to come down and they're going to pray. As far as I know, none of them have it either. Okay?
That's right.
Okay? But we believe the Scriptures and we're going to act according to the Scriptures. And I'm going to encourage you both to react to that with the Word of God. Okay? Read it. Study it. Follow it. Believe it. And to anybody else here, I mean, you may have just come in, you know, but if God's dealing with you about it, today is the day. If you need healing of any kind, okay? I don't think I've ever done this way before, but if you're here today and you just would like to come down and just have the men lay hands on you and pray for your healing, why not? Number one, it's not going to cost you anything. And number two, it's not going to hurt you. Amen? Okay? And like I said, there's all kinds of sicknesses. Okay, there's physical illness. There's emotional illness. You ever had one of those? Say amen. There's spiritual sickness. And I want to tell you something. There's sin. Sin's a disease that you've got that you need healed from. And I want to tell you something. If you want God to deliver you from something, today's the day. Okay? Now, I'm not going to lay hands on you. Oh, I see what God's doing right here. Ooh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. I see it in the vision. Okay? I'm not going to do that. God knows it. Amen? So let's be sober about this. Let's be grave about it. It's not a game. But I'm going to ask Lindsay if she would come down. In fact, she's my daughter. I don't have to ask her anything. Lindsay, get down here. Okay? I'm still daddy. Amen? Okay? And if anybody else, and I mean it, okay? If anybody else wants to be prayed for whatever it is. You don't have to tell us what it is. If anybody else wants to be prayed for, you come down here. What I'm going to do is now the elders, okay? The Bible says let the elders. You know who that is? It's the old guys in the church, okay? It's the old guys in the church, okay? You say, I'm not a member. I don't care. That's not what it says, okay? I don't need your membership card. I don't need to see that you paid tithes. I don't need anything like that, okay? And I'm not telling you who is an elder and who is not. Okay? But if God, let the elders come down. That's the men of the church. If you want to come down here, we're going to do it the way the Bible says. And if you want to come down here, then come down here and help us pray. Okay? But if you come down here, you better believe the Bible. Amen? Lindsay, have a seat here. Okay? Just wherever. Following the scriptures, okay? You know what? This is an old jar of olive oil. Looks like from 1970-something. Okay? There's no magic in this. There's no magic in my hand. The power is in the Word of God. Is that what we all agree to, men? Say amen. Okay? Lay hands on her. Okay? It's the only time that God or me will let you. Or Antonio. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you, dear God. This is my firstborn. Lord, she's the one that you used, dear God, to get to me, to make me grow up from a boy to a man. And Lord, Father, she's been a blessing to me, and I thank you, dear God, for her. And God, I know she's not perfect, and God, you know she's but not perfect, and you know it better than I do. She's not coming down here, dear God, because she's been good. She's not coming down here, dear God, because she deserves it or you owe her anything. You owe her nothing. But Father, Lord, she's coming down here, her and her husband, because, Lord, they've come to a place in their life, dear God, where Daddy's faith is going to become theirs. Lord, I did not provoke her to this. I did not say this is what you have to do. Lord, you laid it on their heart. And they've come before you, God. They come before you, dear God, because they realize there is no other place to turn. Now, Lord, your word says that you would in no wise cast them out. And, Lord, I've been around, Lord, long enough. And I've been in this position myself, Lord, enough times to know and to learn, dear God, that from this point forward, I trust you. Lord, we take this little baby that the wicked world says, you know, we can kill this thing and it's no big deal. God, that's wicked. Lord, you knew this child before you even created the world. And I don't have to ask you to love this baby. You already did. You love this baby so much that you gave your own child, your own son, as a ransom and a sacrifice, as a gift. So Lord, I know you love this baby. You love this baby better than I do, and better than Lindsay and Antonio, better than Grandma. You love this baby. And Lord, we're asking, dear God, for you to do a miracle. Give this baby life. And Father, we trust you enough. Lord, and Lord, I know where Lindsay's heart is, God. I know her heart. She wants to raise a baby. Lord, you're the one that put that in there. And Lord, I'm asking you, dear God, they that trust in you, Lord, you'd give them the desires of their heart. I'm asking you, Lord, to do that. And Lord, as I've learned so well over time through different things, Lord, in life, I've learned, God, that in life or in death, I praise you and I trust you. And Father, Lord, you've raised my, I prayed with my dad in the emergency room, God. And what I couldn't see is that you raised him up to eternal life. So, Lord, I trust you. When I can and cannot see, I trust you. But Father, Lord, our desire, what we want, is for you to give this baby life and give it health. Let this child, dear God, be a testimony, a living testimony of your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Father, I pray for Lindsay and Antonio. I pray, dear God, that you'd forgive their sins. Lord, Father, that you bring healing, dear God, to their soul. Help them, Lord, to always remember this day as a good day. And God, we consent and we agree together. You said, where two or more agree as touching anything in heaven and earth, it shall be done, Lord. It's your word now. You honor it. And God, we trust you. We love you. We thank you, dear God, for your love on us and your love on this little baby. We praise you in the name of Jesus, our one mediator, and our friend and our Lord. And all of God's people said,
amen.
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 Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Wayne, sit down. As you know, Wayne has been struggling. You too, Roy? Come on down here, bud. Amen. I know about that back stuff. Okay? I just believe God. Amen? We anoint them with oil. We ask the elders to come. You too? Come on. I have never done this in my life. Okay, in my ministry. Never. Gentlemen. Father, in Jesus' name, this is not a show. This is not a production. This is not a put on, God. This is what you said to do. And this is what we're doing. Lord, Father, I know these three, and I thank you, dear God, for them. And I do pray, dear God, Lord, that they would take what has been done today and add to it the healing of your word. Father, Lord, for Roy, we pray, dear God, Lord, for blessing and healing in his back and his bones. And Lord, Father, just the toll of time has taken place in his body. And I pray, Lord, that you would just give him healing, give him relief. But Father, Lord, give him joy in his heart. Dear God, Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving him from alcohol, Lord, and for giving him healing there. And Lord, Father, you just continue to give him victory. Lord, just bless him. Father, we pray for Wayne this morning. Lord, Father, I know, dear God, the struggles that he goes through, Lord, and the things, Lord, that have befallen him. And I'm just asking, dear God, Lord, that Lord, you bless my friend. Lord, you bless my friend. And Lord, just give him grace and give him healing. And Lord, Father, raise him up. Raise him up, Father. Lord, just bless him and touch him. And for Taylor this morning, God, we don't know, Lord. We don't know, but you do. She's calling unto you right now. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would forgive her sins. Lord, Father, that you would heal her spirit, heal her soul, heal her emotions, dear God. Heal the grief, Lord, that is undoubtedly in her life right now. And Lord, Father, dear God, that you would raise her up, dear God, Lord, ready to walk for you and to be a testimony of your grace. And Father, again, Lord, we just come before you in a very, very simple faith, doing what you've asked us to do. And Father, now we take all of this and we put it in your hands. And Father, Lord, we're comforted in that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our God. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins.
We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.